Welcome to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loan options for your family. Rocket can.
You know what I'm saying? I think you do.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
And here we go. Welcome to Just Saying It right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. I am your host extraordinaire, Cole Thompson. 800-224-2004. Call into the show. Give me your thoughts, your opinions, what you like, what you don't like. Actually, let's be real. You love everything I say. We got Michael Hernandez on the other side of the glass producing, and we have a great hour ahead. Two-minute warning coming up in about 6 minutes. We got talks all about Michigan, Michigan State. Probably one of the better matchups that we've seen this season going into Saturday at East Lansing. And how do I feel about the quarterback NFL draft class and what I would do if I were a quarterback right now? But I start the show off today with this. I am very excited to see where the career of Ja Morant goes next. Ja Morant was an absolute stellar pick for the Memphis Grizzlies. You want to build a culture. You want to have change. You want to have some consistency. The kid is showing why in just three quick seasons that he will become the next big-time superstar, especially at the point guard position. So far this season, he is averaging 35 points per game. That's number one in the NBA. He's averaging 34.43 minutes per game. That's second in the NBA. He's eighth in assists. He's 16th in rebounds. And all of that, he's one of the cleanest shooters they have on the court right now, averaging 58% of his shots. He's also 44.4% from behind the arc. Guy is playing out of his mind, and it's showing that Memphis could actually be a team to watch for. Even though they're sitting at 2-2, they have a big game coming up. I think it's tonight. Yeah, it's tonight against the Memphis Grizzlies. That is a game. I mean, against the Golden State Warriors. That is a game changer. They lost badly. They lost incredibly badly to the Portland Trail Blazers. But I like this Memphis team. And the main reason is because if you need a superstar. I feel like every team out there needs one superstar to be successful. You maybe are young. Maybe you're not the biggest and brightest name. But you're at least a superstar on the rise. Ja Morant has shown time and time again over the last two seasons that he is here to last for the long term inside of Memphis. He is going to be a building block that I think every other NBA team is going to try to find in the future.
Time for the two-minute warning around the NFL. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
Each and every day, we go around the NFL, getting you caught up on some of the biggest storylines you might have missed, and we do so within 2 minutes. That's why we call it the two-minute warning. Oh, Michael! Start the clock.
Being a Jets fan is a lot like eating warm seafood. It's just not right. Jets owner chairman Woody Johnson apparently not shaken by his team's 1-5 start and historic loss to the New England Patriots on Sunday, expressed unwavering steadfast confidence Tuesday in general manager Joe Douglas and coach Robert Saleh. In Johnson's 17 seasons of ownership, not counting his fourth season overseas, the Jets have made the playoffs 6 times. Those appearances came from 2001 to 2010. The team's 10-year drought is the longest active streak in the league.
Why do you think it's headed in the right direction?
Talking to the leadership of the, you know, with Joe and Robert, and talking to them and seeing how their plans are put together, how they're deep thinkers. I think they want to do things like establish a culture, and they're getting the right players in the right positions. So just a very young team with a young quarterback. He's 22 years old, just turned 22. So he's seeing things for the first time, like a lot of the quarterbacks now, a lot of the young quarterbacks. And it's going to take him a little bit of time, but I have a lot of confidence in Zach, too.
So, like, here's the deal. The Jets, I've heard this story time and time and time and time again in the past. And you hear this all the time. Oh, we're a rebuilding team. We're going to figure it out. Okay, well, at some point, the rebuild has to stop. You have to lay down a foundation. I do think that Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh are that foundation. You know what I always say? Right coach, right GM, right quarterback. If you land all three, you're going to be set for the long-term haul. Look at some of the teams that have gone in the past and changed their GM, changed their head coach, and changed their quarterback. The Buffalo Bills are probably the greatest example of it. You bring in Sean McDermott as your head coach. You bring in the likes of Brandon Bean as your GM. You get Josh Allen. People consider you probably a top team, top three, top four team in the NFL, and you're going to be probably for the next 10 years. You got to make sure that you get the right coach right, which I do think Robert Saleh is. He's a great players coach. People want to play for him, and it's in a market that is profitable. Everyone wants to play in the Big Apple. Now, do they want to play for the New York Jets? That's a whole different story. Joe Douglas is an aggressive GM that isn't afraid to make some big-time moves. I love the addition of what they did to go get Elijah Vera Tucker to bolster up the offensive line to pair alongside Mekhi Becton long-term. And they also still have two first-round picks next year, theirs, which they're probably going to use on either a cornerback, a safety, a defensive lineman, a pass rusher, maybe add another tackle if you really want to. And then you're probably going to go add another wide receiver or maybe even go add another pass rusher. I mean, you can do a lot of different things with that. You still have four top 100 picks in next year's draft. It's not as if you're sitting there and going, oh, you know, we're picking number two, number 34, and then we're not picking again until number 67. No, that's not the case. You have a ton of draft capital over the next two drafts, last year's and the upcoming years, to be able to find and bolster and figure out who are your franchise cornerstone pieces. You're in a very good spot when it comes to quote-unquote rebuilding this time around. Do I like Zach Wilson? Not really. And I didn't like him coming out of college, and I'll be the first to admit that. I thought that he was a very overrated quarterback. But if you land the right OC, you get the right head coach, you get the right GM, I do think Zach Wilson can work. The question is, will he work with Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas? You're seeing Tua Tagovailoa. He's 13 games into his NFL career. That was one of the more efficient quarterbacks in the college football realm. They want him gone. They want him out of the... Like, people want him so gone. Because Tua doesn't have it. But does Zach Wilson have it? That'll be a story to see. And I think it'll be very interesting to follow.
The physical toughness of Baker Mayfield will never be questioned again. His status for Sunday's game against the Pittsburgh Steelers definitely will. The Browns QB told reporters that his torn labrum, alongside with the tuberosity fracture in his non-throwing shoulder, was already feeling better after he sat last Thursday's game against the Denver Broncos. Mayfield, who never missed the NFL start because of injury before, admitted Wednesday that the inflammation in the shoulder was just too severe for him to come back on the short week.
Listen, I do think that if you get back the likes of Baker Mayfield, it's a really good stop. Because, again, divisional games are tough to plan for. It's not just one of these ones where you go, oh, you know, because the Steelers don't have an offensive line, because the Steelers are, you know, kind of struggling right now. That doesn't mean anything. Like you throw that all out the window. And Case Keenum, I'll give credit to him. Guy can play football. Guy is a very, very talented backup in the NFL. Do not think he's a good starter. But Mayfield adds some value. I do need to see him get a little bit better when it comes to passing the football. I do want to see him get a little bit better when it comes to finding a connection with Odell Beckham Jr. Do I think Odell Beckham Jr. needs to get traded this offseason? Absolutely. He has not flourished whatsoever inside of the halls of Cleveland. He has not done his part. In fact, he's one of the more inconsistent wide receivers in the NFL. Doesn't rank top 20 in any single category and has not scored a touchdown this year. So, again, those are all questions that I have for OBJ. Those are questions that I have for the organization moving forward. But the good news is that even if you don't play Baker Mayfield at a high-end level, you can trust the run game of D'Ernest Johnson, the run game of whenever Kareem Hunt gets back, he'll always be healthy, and you get Nick Chubb back this week. So I still like Cleveland in this matchup. Do I think that having a guy like Baker Mayfield gives you an extra advantage? Absolutely. But it's not the end of the world if he doesn't play. However, his mental toughness, you got to give a lot of credit for. I mean, again, do I think that, you know, that playing on a shoulder injury that's probably could do more physical damage to you is stupid? Yeah, sure, absolutely. But that's what the offseason is for. You're trying to win a Super Bowl and you're trying to do it on a rookie contract while gaining an extension. I at least appreciate the tenacity that he's showing week in and week out.
Dak Prescott has yet to clear his latest injury hurdle, this time a calf strain. But he'll get a whole week to attempt to do so. Cowboys coach Mike McCarthy told reporters Wednesday that Prescott will work through individual periods of Dallas practice, and then he would be evaluated further as the session transitioned to team periods. Perhaps most importantly, Wednesday could not determine Prescott's status for the Cowboys' Week 8 game against the Minnesota Vikings, per McCarthy. Prescott was officially limited in Wednesday's session.
Dak has improved every day. Today's plan is for him to start in all the individual. So he'll be working through the individual in the fundamental periods in the group and into the combo, and then we'll assess where he is at that point.
You know what's really funny to me is that we kind of are sleeping on the Minnesota Vikings. Their defense is atrocious. It's not good, and they got to figure something out. They have to figure out what they're going to do in the defensive line. They got to figure out what they're going to do at the cornerback position. But offensively, they are actually really clicking on every single level right now. I mean, you look at how they started against Cincinnati. I understand that, but Cincinnati is now hot. I mean, Cleveland, that's another team that's really hot. Arizona is the hottest team in football. But they've played in four games where they've at least scored 20 points. Three of those games, they've scored over 30 points. That's how talented they are. And I get it. They almost lost to the Detroit Lions, who are winless. That's not an excuse. Detroit is a really, really... If they go 0-16, they're going to be the best 0-17 team of all time. They're going to be the only 0-17 team of all time. But they're still going to be one of the best teams when you look at it. Kirk Cousins is having a really good year. Everyone's looking at Ja'Marr Chase and going, oh boy, look at Ja'Marr Chase and what he's doing. I very forget that Justin Jefferson was also on that same team of the likes of Ja'Marr Chase at LSU. He has 41 catches. He's averaging 13.2 yards per play. He has over almost 600 receiving yards just following Ja'Marr. He's having a good year. Dalvin Cook's having a good year when healthy. And Kirk Cousins is balling right now. A 13-2 touchdown to interception ratio. A passer rating of 105.4. He also has limited his turnovers completely, and he has a 70.1 completion rating. If Dak Prescott does not play in this game, all bets are off of what happens to Dallas. Dallas is one of the hottest teams right now in the NFL, and I do think that they can make it to the Super Bowl this year. But that's mainly based off play from Dak. If you don't have Dak out there, you're in a lot of trouble in multitude of different ways. And even though that I do not think that Minnesota's defense is good, name the backup of the Dallas Cowboys. Michael, name the backup of the Dallas Cowboys.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Thank you. You're starting to pick up on the joke.
The Los Angeles Chargers finished last season 7-9 and fired Anthony Lynn. Enter Brandon Staley, and things have drastically changed. The 4-2 Chargers look to be one of the more complete teams in the AFC despite little roster change. Justin Herbert has thrived on the offense ran by Joe Lombardi, and Staley's defense continues to improve every week. As they come off the bye week, the Chargers can control over the AFC West with a win over the Patriots. Best of all, they caught the attention of Bill Belichick.
Offensively, they got just a great group of skill players. Herbert had a great year last year, and he's doing the same thing this year.
You guys realize just how fast Tom Telesco was able to turn this team around. And again, this goes back to my whole Tua conversation. Imagine if Justin Herbert's in Miami situation right now and Tua is in Los Angeles. Are we having the same conversation? Again, do I think that Justin Herbert is a much better quarterback than Tua? Yeah, 100%. I do. At this point, it's very hard for me not to. But I also thought coming out of college, he was the most overthought quarterback prospect we have seen in probably a decade. And now look at it. He's thriving out in L.A. But I really, really love the addition of Rashawn Slater. Slater has been, in my opinion, the best rookie in the NFL. And here's what I mean by this. Ja'Marr Chase is actually the best rookie in the NFL because of his production that we see on the field. Teams are averaging less than a 10% success rate of adding pressure in the backfield against Rashawn Slater. That is a stat that is so mind-boggling impressive for a player who also opted out along with Chase and absolutely shined. This is a new Los Angeles Chargers team that is getting better coached. They're playing smarter football. They're overall looking like a more complete team and a complete roster top to bottom, despite barely making changes. Yeah, they add some veteran talent on the offseason, like a Corey Linsley, like a Matt Filer. I think they added another linebacker. They did a few things. but they've really been the same roster. This comes down to coaching. And to have a tip of the cap from Bill Belichick saying, oh, yeah, Brandon Staley, yeah, whatever, this offense is really moving well. I'm not really sure what this offense is doing. I'm not alive in time. Like, to have that, I know it sounds mind-boggling, but it is interesting to see how little respect other coaches get around the NFL from Big Game Bill, and Bill is giving praise to what the offense has done. There you have it. 2-minute warning right here on Just Saying It.
This is Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's Cole Thompson.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Their close, convenient, and known are guaranteed everyday low, low prices, have excellent customer service from the professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today and visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices, every day. So as I've said in the past, there's a changing of the guard at the quarterback position. No longer the Tom Brady's and the Phillip Rivers and the Ben Roethlisberger's will be controlling the NFL. It's moving into a new crop and a new generation of talent. I think we all can tell who are the top two names on the list. That would be Patrick Mahomes, even though he is struggling this year, and Josh Allen. One of the more emerging Cinderella stories of what we've seen from a first-round talent who basically was told right from the get-go, you're not good enough, and has figured things out. There's now the question of who is QB3. Lamar Jackson's in the running. Justin Herbert's in the running. I think at this point you have to include Joe Burrow for his success and what we've seen from him this year. And then you have Kyler Murray, who to me is an anomaly. 5'0", able to make plays out of anywhere, finding ways to be successful with, by the way, a rocket of an arm. An arm that can absolutely dismantle players, whether it be on a 5-yard out route or a 35-yard post. It just excels at every single level. And it's a big reason why the Arizona Cardinals enter tonight's game against the Green Bay Packers undefeated. By the way, this is going to be one of the best matchups we ever see in Thursday Night Football if it lives up to expectation. Because combined, these two teams have a 13-1 record on a Thursday night football game. I will repeat that. On a Thursday night football game, the bleh game of the year, the Titans versus the Jaguars, the Texans versus the Panthers, the New York Jets versus the Miami Dolphins, that kind of game, you're getting a primetime shutout. This could be honestly one of the best games that we see all year, and it's going to be played on Thursday night football. This is so big for Kyler Murray because if Murray has to solidify himself at some capacity, he has to show not just himself but the NFL world that he's able to take and elevate that next step of his game. And by doing so, you do it against really good quarterbacks. You play up to par against the Josh Allens. You play up to par against the likes of the Patrick Mahomes. You play up to par against Tom Brady. You don't have to win the game, but you have to play up to par. And I think that part of the reason why Kyler Murray and this Cardinals team is making sure that they go all their P's and Q's, they're all crossed off, they are cleaner than Mr. Clean himself, is that they know who they're facing. One of the greatest quarterbacks that we've seen play the game in the last 30 to 40 years, if not ever, in Aaron Rodgers. And here's what they had to say about facing Rodgers in tonight's matchup.
First time playing against him, first time, you know, probably be able to meet him. It's pretty cool, so you know I'm looking forward to it.
Listen, that's going to be a really fun game because Rodgers is still killing it. Like everyone's kind of remembering that week one against Jacksonville when he struggled, week one against New Orleans when they struggled, they weren't able to really get the ball moving, they really weren't able to do much. Well, ever since then, he ranks literally in top 10 in every category besides passing yards, and the main reason why he doesn't is because they're limited to one receiver. Now, on the flip side, what I will say is for Aaron Rodgers, this is going to be a monumental game. Because if we still know what's going on with him in Green Bay, he isn't sure if he wants to come back. He isn't sure if he wants to play anymore. And if he does, he definitely does not want to do it in Green Bay. So he has to go ahead and reset his market and reset his value. One of the biggest things that people have said is that the regression of what we saw from Aaron Rodgers in 2019 maybe had to show that you also had a little bit of a down year for Davante Adams. Well, Davante Adams right now still is not active for tonight's game. Neither is Alan Lazard. Lazard is automatically out. Lazard, who is probably a wide receiver number four for this roster, he's out. He is not playing whatsoever. He has COVID-19. Now, with Devontae, he's just in the protocol. He has to clear test before he's able to go. And then they will fly him down to Arizona, lickety-split, to get him ready for tonight's game. But if Aaron Rodgers wants to be able to show off how much he is worth, he's going to be able to make superstars out of nothing. He's going to be able to find a way to make it work. What about Tom Brady was so successful during all those years in New England? Well, he had Wes Welker for four or five seasons. He had Danny Amendola, who was a really good slot receiver, for three seasons. He had Julian Edelman, one of the best route runners I've seen in the last decade, for about a decade. He didn't stop losing because he didn't have a superstar wide receiver. Randy Moss is probably the biggest name target he ever caught up. He ever threw a touchdown pass to. And Rob Gronkowski is probably the second biggest name. And they still found ways to win when Gronk was out and when Randy was gone. They still found ways to be successful with dumb receivers whose names that if I made them up, you would probably not believe me. If I said Gunnar Özlecki, you'd go, oh yeah, that's a made up name. No, that's a real receiver. If I said Brandon LaFell, would you go, oh, that's a real receiver? Or is that a made-up name? Just some guy that you saw on the street. Hey, that's a LaFella. Oh, I like that guy. He made superstars out of nothing. He was able to make wide receivers better, which in my opinion is a big culmination of what works for a quarterback in today's game. If you want to be the best, sometimes you have to have great weapons. But other times, and probably the more important times, you have to make wide receivers better. It's always easy to go out there and try to make a quarterback look good, but you have to make wide receivers look good. That is the testament of what a true, talented, top-tier quarterback looks like. And they're going to have an opportunity tonight. You got Randall Cobb still. You have A.J. Dillon. You have Marquez Valdes-Scantling probably stepping up. You're going to have a couple other guys, Amari Rodgers as well. There's going to be a lot of names. Malik Taylor. Aaron Rodgers wants to show that he is a top-tier quarterback. This is the game to do it against. Now, also in this game, unfortunately, there has been some sad news. And I got to bring it up because of it is kind of relevant. But J.J. Watt will not play in tonight's game. And he likely will not play football again in 2021. According to multiple reports, Watt is going to have to undergo shoulder surgery after suffering an injury in the second quarter and playing through it against the Houston Texans last week. At some point, I think we all have to understand when it's time to go. When it's time to call it a career in something. I can tell you right now, I remember playing COD, Call of Duty, and I did not get a single kill. I put down the controller and I said, you know what? This is not for me anymore. I'm tired of always falling short. J.J. Watt is probably tired of always falling short. And I get it. He wants to play. He has the passion. He has been successful at times. But guys, take a look at his career over the last 5, 6, 7 years. Injury, injury, season-ending injury. Plays 4 games, tears an ACL. Plays 6 games, tears a pec muscle. Plays 7 games, breaks a bone in his body. Guy is a Hall of Famer, hands down. We're going to be one of the biggest and brightest superstars that we've seen in the last decade get called into Canton one day. Has over 100 career sacks. There's a place for him in Canton. There truly is. But at some point, your body is telling you, I have to call it a career. And the way that he's been playing, not being able to add a lot of pressure, not being able to add that many sacks up until last week, the fact that it took this long for him to find that much consistency kind of to me shows this could be probably the end. Ultimately, just like the end, I believe that the Arizona Cardinals remain undefeated for another week.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's Cole Thompson.
Industrial strength free all spreads deep into rusted frozen parts, freeing them with ease. The three-part formula delivers three times more lubricant. It takes less spray, less torque, and less time than any other penetrating oil to get the job done. Friol is also body shop safe, which means it's great on save on paint, plastic parts, and silicone free. Great for rusted exhausts and clamp brackets, seized engines, stuck ball joints, rusted machine screws, axle nut removal, and much more. Friol deep penetrating oil. All the oil you need. All right, it's that part of the show, Cole's Calendar, where we pick the dumb holiday that somehow makes sense around the world for National Holiday Day, and what are our options for October 28th?
Not many today, only three.
All right, well, you know, three is better than none.
So, first one, National Internal Medicine Day.
I mean, I want to live forever, so I want to be the Chris Traeger of this entire universe where my body is built like a temple, and I will live to be 150 to live out all of you and still be doing the show for all the younger generations who will call me a fogey. So, yeah, I mean, that's a good one.
National First Responders Day.
Ah, there it is. I knew that you were going to get me one. I knew there was going to be one that kind of came out there. Do we have another one?
Last one. National Chocolate Day.
National Chocolate Day?
Yes, chocolate.
Here's the
chocolate.
Here's the thing, even though chocolate is, like, loved by everyone, and chocolate is, like, everyone's favorite thing.
Yeah, but not you.
I don't like chocolate. I just don't. So, yeah, on this show,
rip.
You know what I'm going to do? We're going to do what we did yesterday. We're gonna go ahead and combine it to make everyone happy. So, I hereby decree National Give a First Responder Chocolate Day. That is what we're going to do. If you see a first responder, somebody who puts their life on the line, somebody who is making sure that you are safe every single day, that you are getting the medical care that you need, any of that, any first responder and any access, if you know them, give them a Hershey's Kiss.
I was about to say, what kind of chocolate? Just a regular Hershey's Kiss or a bar?
I actually would give them a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. I would, because you get two. You can have one now and one later. It's kind of like the now and laters. Hey, I am a big peanut butter guy. Remember, the one chocolate I will eat is Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. When I'm having a bad day, I'll have about two or three of those bad boys, and I'll put
them down. Peanut butter to chocolate ratio is more towards peanut butter than chocolate.
I know, and that's the point.
I just give them a kisses.
All right, you give Michael. You're
Hershey kisses.
Ooh, there we go. Speaking of which, kisses. I do not kiss or condone any one of these NFL quarterbacks just yet who are looking to go into the NFL draft right now. But if I were to pick one guy that I do think could be immediately successful, it would be Pittsburgh's Kenny Pickett. I think a lot of people on this show already know my infatuation with Pickett. He's a guy who has correlated very well from having a down season last year into turning it into a positive one in 2020. Last year was one of his worst years that we've seen. This year, he's looking like a Heisman contender and has the Panthers slowly but surely moving into the category of potentially an actual ACC championship program. 23 touchdowns against one interception, a QBR rating of 88.1, a passer rating of 133, and over 2,000 passing yards through eight games this season. Now, the big question is, can Kenny Pickett transition his game, his smooth, easy, quick, you know, mobility motion into the NFL? I believe he can, but he has to go to the right team. We punish good players by putting them on bad rosters. That's why you always see the number one overall pick go to a terrible organization. So the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Houston Texans right now, the Cleveland Browns for years would always get the number one pick, and the team would still struggle behind it. A guy like Kenny Pickett does not have the skill set that I think most NFL GMs are looking for to be immediate game changers. That would be a Malik Willis. I think that would be a Matt Corral. But what's interesting is that Kenny Pickett's skill set probably keeps him, if he continues to play the way that he is right now, if he continues to develop the way that he has looked over the past few seasons, if he continues to play at a high-end level, he's probably going to earn some first-round draft status. But not first-round as in top 10. More like 12 to 18 range. Think about this for a second. Look at the last few draft classes and where they've selected. Look at that 12 to 15 range, that 12 to 18 range. Look at those teams. Last season, you had the Jets, who made a trade with Minnesota, the Chargers, the Patriots, the Cardinals, the Raiders. All those teams right now are looking like playoff teams. Take a look at the year before. You had the Raiders, the Bucks, the 49ers, the Broncos, the Falcons, the Cowboys. All those teams, except for Atlanta, and Atlanta, I think, could actually slowly start gaining some momentum. Look like playoff contending teams that just had a down year. The year before that, the Packers, the Falcons, Washington, Carolina, the Giants. Teams that feel like they're just a pick or two away from being successful. And we go one more year past that. The Bucks, the Saints, the Raiders, the Bills, the Chargers, the Packers. Teams like those, a pick away. Kenny Pickett could go to a team, and right now, these are the projected teams to be picking in that 12 to 15 range. The Jets via Seattle, the Dolphins via San Francisco, the Broncos, the Patriots, the Steelers, the Colts. Steelers need a quarterback, and they're a franchise that knows how to build around a quarterback very quickly to where you can be successful. The Broncos maybe are just a quarterback away from being in that top-tier category of AFC West contenders. The Patriots, last season, waited patiently to go get Mac Jones, and slowly but surely, Jones is looking like one of the up-and-coming quarterbacks in the NFL. Draft status does matter. And for a guy like Kenny Pickett, somebody who probably is a good enough quarterback to make your team elevated and a postseason contender, can't go number one. He can't go to these rebuilding franchises like the Texans. He can't go to these teams like, I would say, the Giants right now. Maybe he can go to the Washington football team. Maybe that would work. Can't go to the Jaguars, even though he wouldn't. You can't go to those type of teams. You need to go to a team that feels somewhat complete. Look at the teams that pick in that 12 to 18 range. Exactly where a Kenny Pickett-style quarterback goes. And if you don't believe me, ask Mac Jones. Terrible time in Alabama before, sat the bench, didn't do anything right. 1 year of great production. Top 15 pick is looking like the franchise starting quarterback of the New England Patriots for a decade. Teams like the Falcons, teams like Washington, teams like the Broncos would love to have a player like Kenny Pickett on their roster. That's where you can see his ceiling being. If he continues to develop the way he is, that 12 to 15 range, they should be on the phone with Pickett's agent going, listen, we're a quarterback away. We believe your kid can be it. A lot of focus this weekend is going to be on the game up in East Lansing as Mel Tucker prepares for Jim Harbaugh, as Mel Tucker prepares for his shot to potentially become the next LSU head coach. If he wants it, I'm going to put that into perspective because he at any moment could say, you know what? I want to stay here. I want to build a program up here. He can do that. I don't think he will, but he totally can do that. If you look at this Michigan-Michigan State rivalry, there's two things, in my opinion, you have to watch for. The first would be you have to make sure that you keep a close eye on how this team plays towards the end of the season. Because both these teams right now are fighting for a playoff spot. They really are. But the other thing is, take a look at Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh might also be facing a little bit of pressure in this game. Even though he's been successful, and even though there's been a nice turnaround in Michigan, everyone and their mother would admit that Harbaugh has underachieved. Now, has he underachieved enough to where you can say, oh, he's on the hot seat, he needs to be fired, he needs to get out of Ann Arbor? No, I don't think so. I don't. Because the biggest thing is that you can't beat the likes of Ohio State. You're just not doing that. And somehow, you still are finding ways to lose, time and time again. Last season was just a down year. And again, I've told everyone this, I'll tell you this again. I do not include last season for a lot of these teams as, you know, as years against the record. I take that year out. So a 2-4 record last year in a COVID-19 season where you had to cancel a couple games. Yeah, I'm not going to keep that against you. I'm really not. But let's go back and look at his success against Michigan State. He's 3-3 against Sparty, the in-state rival. But what's really interesting is that if he were to win that first year in 2015 when he arrived, they were a top 10 team. Everyone thought that they were actually going to be a team that probably could compete for the likes of a title. They actually could. But they had to get past two things. Number one, they had to get past Michigan State, and they had to get past Ohio State. They weren't able to get past Michigan State, I mean Ohio State. And then they want to remember what happened in 2015. Oh, he has trouble with the snap. Oh, it goes in the end zone. Oh, my God, Michigan State wins the game. Michigan State would go on to win that football game before going and playing Alabama in the college football playoff. Should Michigan have won that game? Should Michigan have go ahead and gotten that ball off and they would have just punted it away, giving them one last second, 1 second, to go ahead and get a touchdown pass from Connor Cook? Michigan likely would have won the Big 10. They likely would have been to the college football playoff. And Jim Harbaugh would be looked at in a much brighter light. Jim Harbaugh would actually probably be looked at as a stellar coach at this point. And then he's had a couple of other games. In 2018, when they were able to go all the way down to the wire, they almost made it to the college football playoff once again. They just couldn't get past that JT Barrett fourth down stand. They just couldn't get past it in 2018. They just couldn't get there. So instead, they settled for a Peach Bowl game. Jim Harbaugh, if you take away those two games, if you take away him getting another close loss to Sparty, and instead he's 5-1 against the Spartans, are we talking about Jim Harbaugh in a negative light and a negative connotation? Or are we looking at Jim as probably one of the more prominent coaches in the game? Because if we talk about Nick Saban and Dabo Sweeney and, you know, and Jimbo Fisher and what these guys have done, Jim Harbaugh for his career has been a very successful head coach at college. 29-6 at San Diego, 29-21 at Stanford. Got him to the highest ranking they've ever had in program history, number 4. Got him inside of Michigan 4 straight years of top 15 finishes. And they've been ranked inside of the top 25 4 different occasions. They don't win bowl games, and part of that is because the players opt out for meaningless bowl games. And he's 3 games away from potentially being a 2-time Big Ten champion coach. And also a 2-time college football playoff representative. Do I believe that this Michigan team is that great? Not really. I think there's a lot of flaws with this team. They're playing decent defense. They're running the ball extensively well. The wide receivers are a little bit limited. Cade McNamara, I'm not really a big fan of his. I'm just going to come out there and say it. But they're finding ways to win. If he's able to get this win over Sparty this weekend, there's 2 things to take away. Number 1, Michigan is here to play. Sparty, even though I don't believe that they can beat a lot of teams in the college football playoff, I do think that the way that they were able to recruit and use the transfer portal to their favor this offseason is why Mel Tucker is being looked at in such a positive light. And the other thing I look at with Jim Harbaugh, everything that we knew about him is slowly starting to come together. You want to see success. You want to see what this team could be. You want to see what the upside was about hiring Harbaugh away from the NFL and bringing him back to Ann Arbor. This is what it was. And it's all coming into fruition. It starts on Saturday at East Lansing. We'll close out just saying it right after this.
This is Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
One final thought, as I do every single day right here on Just Saying It. Never make those who you consider leaders mad it never ends well. The best thing that I ever learned when I was a little kid is if mom's not happy, no one's happy. Because if mom's mad, she runs the house. She's going to make your day a living nightmare, and it doesn't end well. Well, in Houston, Texas, in the organization known as the Texans, Brandon Cooks might be the mother hen of all the Texans players. And he is furious that the team elected to trade away Mark Ingram despite saying that they wanted to have his leadership in the locker room to be successful for the long term. Well, I guess that leadership was just a little too poignant, a little too strong for the likes of Jack Easterby and Nick Caserio as they shipped him out to the New Orleans Saints. And Cooks took to Twitter saying, "This is BS, such a joke."
Or maybe he's mad that he wasn't traded first.
No, I was saying, maybe that was it. You know, you never know. Because he did say in his press conference yesterday, trades happening. They're all part of the game. We got to learn to adjust. Probably like one last, like, oh, I'm out of here. Do you guys remember like when the Cleveland show happened on Family Guy and everyone thought that there was going to be like another spinoff character, like maybe Brian or Quagmire got the show? And then everyone's like, really? Cleveland? Like Cleveland Brown got the show? Same thing. It's the exact same thing. Brandon Cooks like, really? I'm still stuck here? I'm still in this madhouse? Come on. Not me. Any way you look at it, the Texans right now are a madhouse of disaster. There's not a lot of positives going there. And the fact that you pissed off the mother hen, the leader of the locker room, really speaks volumes of where this team's direction is going and how bad it's starting to look. All right, I'll be back tomorrow to break down everything we saw on Thursday Night Football, preview Game 3 of the World Series, and much, much more. Have a good weekend, everybody. Later!